Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. Today, we are releasing part one of a two-part episode, which is a very interesting episode about atheism and spirituality, which I think can potentially be a contentious topic, depending on who you're talking to. And I am excited today to be presenting this episode in conjunction with a couple of my friends, Brian and Bryant. So Brian works in the healthcare finance field. Around his mid-teenage years, he began to question and disagree with many of his Catholic upbringing teachings. And whether it was the explanation of the creation of the universe or the human's role in it. And over time, he saw religious institutions as something he could not really be a part of, and started his journey to discover why life and the universe is the way it is, but without religion. Bryant also works in healthcare and is an avid bike rider. And these guys are also both atheists, and there are different kinds of atheists. There are all different kinds of atheists, just like there are different kinds of religions and different kinds of people in general. And so this was a really fun episode to record. And so today we get into kind of a little bit about their paths to atheism, to spirituality, not to spirituality, kind of where they are in their lives today, a little bit about materialist atheism. We talk about ghosts, which was pretty interesting part of the conversation, the prevalence of Abrahamic beliefs in Western culture, humanism, the importance of respecting other people's beliefs, and the overall human construct of life and time. So this was a really fun episode to record, and I hope you all enjoy it as much as I did. Let's just jump right in. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Spirituality What? Podcast. I am here today with a couple of my friends, Bryant and Brian, and we are going to talk about the connections, or maybe no connections, between atheism and spirituality. So Bryant, if you would introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name's Brian, and I've been essentially an atheist my whole life. I think I'm kind of unique in that experience, where I've never had a point in my life where I had any formal religion or belief in anything spiritual. My mother was Lutheran, and my father was an agnostic, and I basically grew up in an agnostic household. But through that experience, I've slowly turned more to the atheist side, and now I make the claim that there is no God and there are no spirits, whereas most atheists or agnostics would simply answer that they don't know or don't think that there is.
Okay, cool. Brian?
Hello, so my name is Brian. I guess the best way to describe my spiritual or religious background is that my family were raised Catholic, but very loosely. So we were not a very religious household.
Not practicing?
Correct. Okay. So I attended, Bible studies and, Sunday service and things like that. But it was never this kind of overarching theme in our life. And then probably about the time I was a teenager, it was not really enforced. We never did any of those things. Obviously we celebrated Christmas and Easter, but it was more about candy and presents than, Jesus.
Yeah.
I would say that my spiritual and religious background kind of took a significant turn probably around teenage years. And that's when I think I really decided to myself that I think I need more quantitative information to come at me about, do I believe in something or not, and not just kind of take people's word for it. Because I found that, a lot of times that people are kind of unreliable when it comes to things, just their accounts of, I've witnessed miracles and things like that. And I think it's really important to kind of make the decision for yourself. I don't judge people for having, you know, spiritual religious beliefs, but also I have to live, you know, in my own self and have my own integrity about
to yourself. Yeah,
correct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Okay. Well, we're going to just keep on with the normal way that this podcast works, even though today is going to be, I imagine, a little bit different, which is that I'm going to ask you the same question that I ask all of our interviewees, which is, so Brian, what does spirituality mean to you?
Well, for me, I think spirituality, at least my understanding of the definition, is basically what is your connection with the spirit world, or what is your connection with anything that is supernatural?
Okay.
So personally, to me, it doesn't mean very much because I don't think that anything spiritual or anything supernatural exists.
Okay.
So my personal connection with it doesn't exist, but obviously I have to interact with it all the time. At my work, I just got the email of spiritual training. How do I train my spirit? So, you know, it's all over it's in the around. Culture, so yeah, I have to deal with it. It just doesn't mean anything personal. Yeah.
Okay. Brian, what does spirituality mean to you?
So, I'm definitely going to concur with that with some nuances. I think spirituality is very important for many people, but I do not find it important to me.
Okay.
So, my understanding of spirituality is, and to piggyback off what Brian said, is yes, it is this kind of belief, not necessarily in a structured kind of religion, you know, like Christianity, the three bigs, the Abrahamic religions, but it's more of a kind of a connection with spiritual energy. Maybe it's the world. Some people might identify it as source, things like that. That's how I would identify spirituality. Does it have a place in my life? I'm not going to say unfortunately, yes, but it does, because the people around me, with the exception of Brian's, it is a very big part of their life.
Right.
So I have to understand it. And while I may not necessarily agree with it, and I'm going to kind of refer back to what I said earlier, I have to maintain my own integrity and I can listen and respect what people believe, but those are not necessarily my thoughts and beliefs.
Absolutely.
If you need a lack of spirituality, just let me know.
I'll call Brian.
I'm like, yeah, when Brian has had enough, Brian, I'll be like, dude, he needs to come over.
Right here. I'm here for you.
Okay, cool. So I will preface this episode for the listeners that I really didn't know what it was to be an atheist. And I think that I had to do some research for this, just like I do all the other podcasts. But I really got into it. I did a lot more research on this one than I've done on the others, because it's like a spectrum is my understanding kind of atheism. Like, there is like a standard kind of definition. So atheism is like the opposite of theism, which is that there is no God. But that's like the only thing, based on what I found online, that atheists can kind of agree with. But there's all these additional words and labels that people can use to kind of describe what type of atheist.
Right. And I think a lot of people can get wrapped up in the basically the semantics, where I hear this a lot, where, you know, you'll be like, well, atheism just means that I don't believe in a God. So you can be atheist and still spiritual.
Right. Because that's after I did all the research, I was like, I'm a spiritual atheist, I think.
Right. Exactly. And I think, though, if you're just on the street and you're discussing with somebody atheism and you say you're an atheist, I think it conveys a different meaning than the Webster Dictionary tells you. I think it does convey this, like, I don't believe in anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Whereas if you were a spiritual atheist, you would probably just say you're spiritual, or you do have a belief.
So it's like the label that you use.
Right.
Kind of.
Right. That's what I think.
Connotation.
I think it has a different connotation than the dictionary will say. Like, I call myself a materialist.
Yeah.
I think that's more accurate.
What does that mean? What is a materialist?
That means it's atoms and energy are the only thing that exists. That's all we're made out of. Anything outside of anything that we can basically interact with, it doesn't exist. So, you know, it's like in the name, materialism.
Yeah.
If it's not made out of matter, it's not real, essentially.
Okay. So you're a materialist atheist.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you have any other words that you add to your version of atheism?
So, this is where we start splitting hairs.
Yeah, this is great. That's why we have two people, to get two different perspectives.
If we're taking a very strict definition of atheism, it means godless.
Okay.
That is the root.
Without.
Without.
Yeah.
It is the root kind of definition of the word. So, can spirituality coexist with things like atheists? I think it depends what you mean by spirituality, and I'll give you a good example. So, say for instance, an atheist said, I believe in ghosts. My first question would be, what do you mean by a ghost?
Well, what is the definition of a ghost?
I mean an apparition, the soul, spirit of an individual. I would follow that up by, does that soul, spirit, entity exist in a supernatural realm? Okay, this is kind of like a stepping stone to kind of getting to an answer. And if the answer is yes, then my next question would be, where does that spirit originate from? Does it originate from you? Does it originate from something external? Well, I think you know what comes from, and then you start getting into the underlying tones of, well, I think there might be an afterlife. Well,
it comes from me versus somewhere else.
Who facilitated that afterlife? Was it a deity? Was it a being?
Was it a
quote source? These are the kind of things that separate me, because the moment a ghost becomes this kind of supernatural entity that exists or was created by something outside of the material realm, it then immediately, in my mind, is no longer atheism.
Okay.
Because regardless of how you view some kind of power with some kind of consciousness that has the ability to either facilitate, create, or harbor souls, create afterlives, paths to enlightenment outside of your physical form, that is a deity.
Got it.
It's not, there's nothing to say. You can try to argue otherwise, but in my opinion, it exists outside of what Bryant would say,
yourself,
and a physical realm. But say, for instance, if you said, well, I believe that a ghost or a spirit comes from me. Or say, for instance, that a ghost or a spirit, if you believe in the multi-universe theory, where there are multiple universes stacked on top of one another. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into the hard science of that. These could simply be creatures that live in other layers of our multiverse, live in between. Maybe we cannot perceive them in the way that they are used to being perceived. Does that make them supernatural? Absolutely not. It makes them tangible, but they may not necessarily be tangible to us in the ways that a lot of people would typically see. Like, I'm looking at this chair. It is a chair. I can touch it. I can feel it.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I would argue, though, too, if you're talking to a person who would be an atheist, right? Maybe they decided, hey, you know what, this whole God thing doesn't make sense. They were driven out of their religion. But they've had some weird encounters at night, and they do believe in ghosts. I don't think most people would bring that thought any further. They would be all like, yeah, you know what, I think if you die, there is something there. Maybe some energy still laying around, and that does create a ghost. But I don't think the thought would go past that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So,
right, so they might not be thinking of like, okay, well, let's go deeper.
It's very superficial.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I think it's because a lot of our beliefs are based in pseudo-Abrahamic beliefs.
It's everywhere.
It's so prolific in the West that a lot of people will say, well, I'm not religious, I'm not spiritual, but yet you still practice a lot of the rituals that you will find.
So talk about that. So for listeners who are listening, what does that mean when you say that, Abrahamic beliefs?
Here's a good example. The simple act of celebrating Christmas. Okay.
That is a good example.
I mean, if we want to get textual, Christmas is not Jesus's birthday.
Correct.
Okay. But according to the Bible,
But
according to the Bible, it is. But people who are not religious, are not Christians, still celebrate that day.
Correct.
And there is nothing wrong with that. But it is a prime example of having beliefs, rituals, and kind of
intertwined just with
your everyday life.
Yeah, exactly. What do you say when someone sneezes? Bless you.
It's true. Yeah, you're right.
Or shut up.
Stop it right now.
Yeah.
So I've actually gotten the habit of saying nothing, and then sometimes people look at me weird. And when I was in the military, you know, the chaplain comes out and does the invocation and whatnot, and everyone lowers their head. And I'm one of the few people with their head up, and you're not supposed to look around, but no one's looking. And you kind of look around, and then you see your fellow atheist on the other side of the formation, kind of looking at you. It's like, yeah, they know.
But you know what? That does bring up a good thought, though, because if I am in a group of a lot of my higher ups and they're all bowed their heads in prayer, you know I'm going to bow my head in prayer. I'm not going to stick out. I don't want to bring anything like that against me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything to me. So.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't either way.
Right. But that's how prolific it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that is really interesting. So when we talk, let's go back really quick to different types of atheists.
or categorizations of atheists or sure. additional labels or whatever. And I want to talk about this one because I still don't have a great grasp on this. But when we originally talked about having this conversation, I talked about my definition of spirituality, which was just a connection, like a deeper connection just to everything, to myself, to the earth, to energy, which maybe I'm like, I really believe in energy. That's maybe materialist, but you also talked about humanist. So can you talk mm-hmm. about what humanism is, and is that a label? Are people humanist atheists also?
Yeah. So humanism basically is a completely different like category, separate from like your label of atheism.
Okay.
Atheism or agnostic or these kind of labels.
It's like one of those. Okay.
Those labels describe like, what do you believe?
Yes.
And then your humanism is essentially, what are your values? What is your morality? And that's essentially what that is. So humanism is the idea that we're all suffering through life. We all have empathy. Mm-hmm. I understand that you can go through the same pains and suffering that I can go through. And it would all be better if we helped each other out, get through this life a little mm-hmm. bit easier. So that's where atheism will say there is no God. And it's like, well, what do you get from that? Yeah. Well, you just get that there's no God.
Yeah.
Sure. But it's like, okay, so then why do I do good things? That's a separate question. That's where humanism will come in.
Gotcha.
It's kind of like a logic-based
philosophy.
Morality mm-hmm. in philosophy, right?
Yeah.
And I always find it funny when religious people are like, oh, you don't believe in God. You must not have any morals or ethics.
You must be the horrible right. person. And it's like, well, so mean to right. everybody.
Yeah, and I find it funny because do you really need the threat of eternal damnation to do good deeds?
Yeah.
To act correctly? Not. Well, that's kind of what that energy projects. And I use,
but that's a religious energy, too.
Correct. And
that is
and that,
different.
And that is what I find problematic about mm-hmm. religion mm-hmm. in general. So, and it's funny that, not funny, but when you spoke about, the different types of atheists, I find that atheists fit in a handful of camps. So okay. when you have, for example, Richard Dawkins, he's an evolutionary biologist. He's very inflammatory.
Okay.
He's he's a very matter of fact, and he'll say, well, you're foolish. Of course there's not, this because XYZ, which is fine. But the problem with that is that it's kind of the idea of hearts and minds. If you don't teach people that I believe in this way, yet I can still respect your beliefs, I don't think you're making any progress in society at all.
Because totally.
You have yeah. to live in a community.
Acceptance.
We don't live yeah. in a vacuum.
Right.
So there's a lot of, and I like to call these people the anti-religious atheists. And those are the kind of people that are more interested in hating on organized religion okay. than actually kind of...
See, and that describes me a lot, but on the inside. like me and my wife alone, that is full on. In any time that spirituality or religion comes up, that's me. But if I'm talking to you and we're not good friends, I'm not confrontational at all. And I understand that it's everywhere. So if you believe in God, it's you and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's not a lot of point in trying to convince people otherwise. Right. I find that it's kind of a losing battle. And
mm-hmm. I think on both sides, in both directions,
correct.
That's a valid statement.
And it causes a lot of discord in relationships because when people have a relationship with spirituality or God, whichever one it is.
Or politics or anything else that's very passionate like that.
Right. Yeah. It becomes a situation where then there is this kind of divide versus us and them. And humans mm-hmm. are very tribalistic. So the moment you start splitting camps, people start looking and perceiving mm-hmm. you differently. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm just trying to get along and be along.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not...
I need to know that coworker pretty well before I'll let them know I'm atheist.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, let's just caveat really quickly that Brian and Bryant are some of the nicest people in general. So it definitely applies. So we talked a little bit about ghosts. I want to come back to the ghost conversation. So I think based on what we've said, you don't believe in ghosts, Brian.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Nope.
But Brian, you believe in ghosts?
I do not believe in ghosts in the sense that they are supernatural beings.
Okay.
I believe that there is a way that science and logic can explain a lot of things. So, for example, like if you were to say 99% of ghost sightings are false, there's still that 1% that are unexplained. So does that make you an agnostic? No. As long as you look at it in a way that's objective.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I had an experience...
yeah, let's talk about that.
And it wasn't a night terror. I know the difference. And it wasn't, quote, the hag, where sleep paralysis.
Okay.
So I had a very, very vivid dream about a very beloved animal that had suddenly passed. And I had, when I had woken up, I perceived what I would say would be a shadowy figure kind of looming over me. And then as I kind of looked at it, it almost kind of rushed away through the wall. And a lot of people would say, oh, that's proof. That means that you must know that there is spirituality and that there's something beyond that. But the reality is that that could have simply been my imagination being half asleep. Mm. That could have been neurotransmitters in my brain that were overly active while having a very intense dream. Mm-hmm. And
emotionally intense as well.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I perceived something that wasn't there. On the flip side, if we want to look at it in a more abstract way, it could literally be a being that is transient through our particular, we're going to call it a layer of mm-hmm. the multiverse.
Yeah.
So can we prove that those things exist? No, I do not know definitively. That's why I'm not saying it was definitely this. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people place labels on stuff. They call things ghosts and they, because they don't understand it. It's a lot more comfortable to call something a ghost. Exactly.
It's kind of generic, like unexplainable sort of.
Correct. I think a lot of people are afraid of the unknown, which people are like, oh, I don't know how you can live as an atheist. It's rough, man, knowing that death is oblivion.
Yep, just cannot like before you were born.
Correct. It's like, what was it before you were born? Nothing.
That's what death is.
Once it happens, I think it's like, I won't. I won't think anything.
It, right.
It's the leading up point that's anxiety inducing.
And that's a big, I think that's a big underlying in a lot of my viewpoints of the world and everything. A common thing you'll hear people say is, oh, it's a human construct, you know, like money, that's just a human construct, mm. right? But it really does have a very deep meaning, because if you think about everything as a human construct, think about life, right? You know that a plant is alive, you know that a dog is alive, that a human is alive, mm-hmm. but what is life? Does that actually exist outside of a human mind? On my belief, no. Life doesn't exist outside of a human mind. It's just a category that we came up with of matter that acts in a certain way. You know, where what's the difference between a rock and your single-celled organism? There's not very much. We make categories. We say, well, this one can reproduce. This one can move.
This one has
metabolism. Okay. Things like that. But that doesn't actually exist outside a human mind.
So we created the definition of life.
Correct. And we create the definition of most things.
Yeah.
So if you think about, there's no real difference between us and an inanimate object. We're just a chemical reaction. And like fire, if that chemical reaction creating a fire goes away, what happens to the fire? Mm-hmm. Well, the fire didn't really exist in the first place. The fire is just the luminous of whatever gas is coming off of this chemical reaction. So that fire didn't really exist. Just like the idea of us dying, that doesn't really exist. It's just a chemical reaction that's ceasing to stop. And that chemical reaction is what we call life or living. Mm. And so when you talk about something like a spirit or a ghost or anything like that, in my worldview, all of those are immediately refuted because there is nothing more. Your brain is simply a chemical reaction. When it stops, the consciousness doesn't exist. It's just the process of a chemical reaction. Mm. And we've essentially, this is just what it's like when a chemical reaction is complicated enough to develop logic.
Sure.
And it's an interesting thought experiment. You know, if you think about evolution, how far back do you go until you don't have a consciousness? Mm. You know, does an amoeba have a consciousness? You can go up a little bit. Does a rat have a consciousness?
Yeah.
Does a monkey? Does a tiger, a dog? It's kind of an interesting thought experiment. But for me, like, what that has to do with ghosts is it would refute all of that.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't refute the idea of if it's a multiverse and that something would come through. However, I think the multiverse theory, I think it gets extrapolated too much to things.
Okay.
I think the basic idea of a multiverse theory is to basically solve, like, some mathematical problems in theoretical physics, and doesn't really mean that there's infinite worlds of infinite people walking around.
Yeah.
Even though it does, it's it's not quite in that way. It would more be like a different laws of physics. It's unimaginable. It wouldn't even be something that we would be able to comprehend or even have the slightest idea of.
Yeah.
You know, it's like gravity doesn't exist there, and neither does thermodynamics. Okay, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
No clue.
Sure.
So sure. I think that anything like that,
what about
no possibility?
What about parallel timelines? Does that fall into the same sort of multiverse?
So
yeah,
I think time also is, and I'm going to piggyback off what Brian said, time is a construct made by us.
Mm-hmm.
So
that applies specifically to these bodies.
Correct.
Yes.
So the only reason you perceive time is because your mind is you as an organism are complex enough to perceive it. But say, for instance, my mind worked in a way where the perception of time was slower. Would that mean that time was physically slower?
Are you living longer?
Correct. Are you living longer? Mm. My perception has changed. You know, it's kind of like, well, when you're young, time feels like it goes on forever. But when you're older, it's like, oh, the years just go by.
Mm-hmm.
It's a change in your perception.
True.
So alternate timelines. You know, that's a really interesting question.
We haven't talked about that before on the podcast.
I don't think I would actually... I don't think I'm educated enough to speak on that. Do I entertain the idea that there could be such a thing? Absolutely. I mean, if you subscribe to the idea that there are different layers, and I'm using that term very loosely, different layers of a multiverse, absolutely. There could be different timelines where if something happens, you know, time splits off in a different direction. But I don't necessarily believe that a person just like me is living somewhere else, and instead of eating two whoopie pies, he only ate one. And,
yes.
And he walked down the street and then got hit by a bus. Okay. Gotcha. I'm not quite sure I subscribe to that. I can see the kind of logical processes that get to that point, but I don't think I'm qualified enough to truly say I definitely believe that. Yeah. I can entertain an idea like that. But I'm not sure.
But if you read a comic book, right, that has to do with the multiverse, that's what it's talking about.
Correct.
But if you hear a theoretical physicist who's given his dissertation on a multiverse, it's a completely separate thing, you know? And I think a lot of people get those confused. And
it's
been
popularized to be a certain thing.
And I think the comic book gets the scientific validity that doesn't exist.
By using the terminology.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
But alternate timelines, I don't know. I've never heard anything complying that old. I'll leave that to
the scientists. We watched a really cool TV show. I can't remember what it was called. Counterpart, I think, where the whole premise was like they opened up this portal between, I want to say it was like Berlin, Germany, in like the 80s. And then they discovered it 20 or 30 years later. And there was all this, you know, it was basically like a border and everything. But it was very interesting because people would cross and it just the differences. It was just, it was an interesting show.
I think, you know, I mean, going forward in time is possible. We know that. I don't think going back in time is possible.
Okay.
A lot of the faster you go, the closer you get to the speed of light, the longer time gets. And in that kind of way, you can kind of speed through time go to the future.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can ever go back. I don't know. I mean, a lot of people talk about like branching timelines.
Yeah.
You make a decision. Yeah, now there's two timelines.
Yeah. The butterfly effect.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe in that either. Yeah. I don't think there's any reason to believe that.
Yeah.
I also don't fault people for having those kind of perceptions.
No,
because,
not at all.
Because again, it's one of those things that it's a very large unknowable. It's very easy for me to discount the idea that there's, you know, Sky Daddy up there, you know, using magic to kind of alter the world. And I'm not trying to be insensitive when I say that.
Sure.
Okay. But there's a lot of science behind time travel. And exactly what Brian said, it's theoretically proven that the closer you get to the speed of light, time essentially kind of slows down for you, but it's going at the same speed around you. So are you really traveling in time, or are you just your physical chemical processes just slowing down? Mm. And again, your perception of time is changing.
Yeah.
So I'm not qualified to answer that question, but you know, again, it's one of those unknowables.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, a lot of these are, they don't affect us, you know, large ideas, you know, let's say that, you know, tomorrow they come out with a new scientific paper and they're like, you know what? We did prove it. There's multiple timelines. that would mean absolutely nothing to me or anyone else. It wouldn't change really
sort of
anything.
Like the impact to your life. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you know, it might just change the people who study that, you know, and how they would study that. But to us down here, it wouldn't affect our lives in any way.
I think it would affect my perception of life.
I'd make you think.
I think it opens up conversations of like, well, we weren't sure about that. We didn't have proof of that. Now we have proof. Like, interesting.
I would be very concerned that my alternate self got a raw deal on some bad decision I made.
Oh, yeah. But like you went to Target and you think your alternate self went to Walmart.
Got
and
hit by a cheese.
Got some cheaper cereal.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining this part one of the two-part atheism and spirituality episode. Check in next week for the drop of part two, and we will see you then. Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact. Tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.